Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell, Ray Chung, and Matt Cole. Also, Bucky, the executive producer, and the producer, Luis Gomez. You can check us out on all your social media networks.
Chicken away, right? Is it time chicken?
Is that recording? Can you hear him?
Yeah.
You can hear Matt?
You hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you good now.
Alright. Good, we're perfect.
We're fucking, Louie, we're fucking you up.
Man. No gift baskets, no nothing.
Oh, you get a gift basket for coming on Them Nuts, man. Especially when we have shitty
you got
ass
a cigarette,
sound.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, fuck, man. You want to use your stand out of the car? We can get your stand.
I'm gonna laugh, man, if there's like on and off switches on those mics, and you guys are just.
What are you doing? Just leave it alone. Oh, you gonna put it? You gonna put a stand?
You
in,
can't. Whatever. I bet you like to start sticking shit in there, then Louis gonna wonder what the fuck happened to it. Yeah. Say you should have been here, motherfucker. You should have
exactly
been here.
I'm doing it.
There.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
kind of lip like your dick.
Very
yeah, do you want me to just run in your car and grab your stand out?
No, we're good. We're good. We are right, good.
Go. Okay, am I loud enough or does this need to be closer?
No, you're
good. All right, cool.
No, here you go.
All right.
We finally got it. School. Finally made it, man.
We can go old school. We went out to the old school mics again.
Oh,
like where you hold hands, man. Hold hands type mic. Thanks for coming out, man. Sorry for
thanks for the environment. No. We're
Kristen
good,
was like, I got to leave in like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it was nice seeing you guys, man.
It was good seeing you too, man. I'm glad for sharing the stories, man.
No, I'm saying that because I'm leaving. Bye.
I know. Come back and see us later, okay? Yeah. When we get the whole crew together again.
Yeah. Let's say the whole crew?
No.
Oh, yeah. You got more room on the couch.
Yes. In the beautiful studio, man. So what's going on, man?
No. I've just been working. Just been doing different road gigs and stuff like that. Just telling jokes, being funny. How you guys been, all right? Cool?
Gay?
Yeah.
Coming out of the closet.
That's coming out of the closet? The
What'd you say, coming out of the closet?
Yeah, might as well.
What?
I'm not gay, man, but, you know, hey, I'll rent it out.
No, you ain't got to bring it out.
I'll rent it up.
Yeah, I'm becoming a lesbian, man. Yeah.
Becoming a lesbian?
Yep.
Why are you becoming one now? You gonna explain that or what?
Mm-hmm.
You gonna explain that?
I have gay tendencies, but I only date women. How about that?
That explains that shirt.
Yeah. This shirt is beautiful, man. My wife picked this out, man, for my birthday.
Yeah,
I love it.
I thought you lost a bet.
No. I love this shirt.
Just because she gives you something doesn't mean you have to wear it, dude.
I have to wear it. As a matter of fact, we'll have her fucking send you an email, too.
You're like a fucking Starburst.
You don't have to use every gift you get, bro.
Hey, she actually bought me the watch,
That's
too.
Funny, because only black dudes can get away with certain shit like
that. Yeah.
If I wear pink, I'm gay. If you wear pink, you guys are cool.
Yeah.
Salmon, dude.
It's like, what?
This is it, man. This is the tradition.
Avocado green
But if
shirt.
I wore a black ass shirt, then everybody would be like, damn, we can't even see him.
No. He'd just be naked.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So that's why I got to wear these unique colors. So if I say, he must be European. He must be... He's European. He's sandals, European in shorts, and a Prius. Oh, he's got to be a European black. Yeah.
The whitest guy, black dude with good credit. Oh, man.
All right, enough bagging. I didn't know we had to roast Darius. So
No. You brought it up, dude.
Yeah.
I fuck you guys. I just said I was being
gay. You stepped right into that.
You didn't really bring it up. But
yeah.
I'm just keep staring at that shirt. It might come up.
Don't be all mad, man. The shirt's beautiful.
I couldn't wear a shirt like that. One, I'm too fat.
True.
I look like... True.
He's like, who made guacamole?
If you're good thing you're not sitting by me, I'd put a chip in you.
Yeah.
I lost 20 pounds. Fuck all of you guys.
Is that right?
I did a sit-up last week.
There you go.
I was all scared.
You have to get off the floor somehow.
My doctor was worried. He's like, you didn't do one at once, did you? Like,
did you break it up?
Oh, man. That's funny. Oh. What road stories? You want a good
whatever
one?
Whatever you want to talk about,
this
man.
I got a good one. One time I was on the road, and after the show, I took this girl. She was kind of drinking a little bit. Okay, she was fucked up. Kind of saves me on roofies, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, we go in the back. I parked in the back of the club, and we go in the car, and we did the nasties, right? You know the rule. Once it's done, all right, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb light comes on, the date's over, you know what I mean? She wanted to sit there and talk. So she's sitting there talking about her dad, brother, and we end up fucking again. All of a sudden, we're all done, and she's in a hurry. She's like, I got to get back in now. My boyfriend's probably looking for me. Yeah. I'm like, what? You know, first thing I'm going by is this guy big or what? You know what I mean? I'm like, you know what? I'll just pull around the front and drop you off. You know what I mean? I got a better chance of taking off in my car.
Smart.
I pull around the front, and he's all, damn, he left. I'm like, damn, I got to take this chick home. I go, well, how'd you get here? And she goes, oh, that's my car right there. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Pull up next to the car. All right, bye. She goes, well, I can't leave yet. I go, why can't you leave yet? She goes, my husband thinks I'm out with my friends.
Yeah.
I was like, right on.
Love a slut. Job. Love a slut. Cool.
All right. Here's that story about the girl. I was 38 years old. I was dating a 23-year-old. I was just going through my divorce. And you'd be amazed when you're dating a 23-year-old tall blonde with big titties. You kind of forget about the ex-wife. But there was no love or nothing. You know what I mean? It was just fun. We dated for about, we were together probably about a month before I had to head out to Iraq. I came back from Iraq, and I found out she was fucking everything. So I'm
like, 23. Hey, what do you
say? Yeah, you know, this ain't going to work out, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. There was one particular bar that I used to go to all the time. I actually used to book a show there, and that's where I met her. She never went in there except when we met and then after we started dating. I go back to that bar, and she starts hanging out there, and she starts making out with every guy she sees there in front of me.
Damn.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't jealous, but hey, it did kind of make me look a little back, especially when my friends are at that bar.
And they all knew. They all knew.
Yeah, right. So I put her to the side. I said, look at her. I said, I really don't care what you do. Just don't do it here, man. People are starting to talk about you and, you know, what kind of girl did you date? You know what I'm saying? She said, oh, fuck you. I'll do whatever I want. I'm like, you know what? Fine. My kid's soccer coach used to go to that bar. She starts hooking up with him. Now, here's the funny shit. When we're dating, you know, I'm a freak. I mean, I'm a freak. But there were certain shit she wouldn't let me do. Like, once she wouldn't let me go down there and do certain things. Because she said her grandpa used to touch her and it's weird.
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly. Ooh. Now, I said, cool, no problem. I understood that. Well, now, flash forward.
That's why
we're going through all this shit. She starts messing around with my kid's soccer coach. He's a good friend of mine. He actually comes up to me at the bar and he goes, hey, bro, I know that's your ex, man, but do you mind if I hit it? You got to give him props. He's asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got some respect.
I'm like, dude, go ahead, man. Tear it up. He's turning around. I go, hey, by the way, bro. When you're hitting a doggy style, say, who's your grandpa? She loves that shit.
That's a call.
He did.
Oh, shit.
I get a call the next day. He's like, you're a dick, dude. I'm on the floor rolling. I go, what happened?
Yeah,
he's hitting it from the back, and he goes, who's your grandpa? She goes, what? And he goes, who's your grandpa? She got up, slapped him, and left. I'm rolling. I go, that's what you get for fucking my ex. You said I could. I was playing. She calls me about an hour later, and she's fucking livid. She goes, you know, I shared that with you, and you should have told nobody. And I go, look, it, man, once you cross that whole line, everything's off air. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You start fighting.
I go,
everyone.
Look, if you're going to give it away to everybody, you should let me know. That helped you sell it. Make some money. She goes, well, I should have sold it to you because you weren't worth it.
Oh, so she's starting to bag now.
And y'all know I do this for a living. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let that go. I'm like, look at lady, how bad is your coochie when your grandpa stops touching it? Yeah, we didn't talk no more after that. Yeah, she was a little pissed off.
So how long have you been in comedy, man?
I started.
You know, fucking transition.
How are you gonna go from grandpa touching it to how long
you
been telling
us? We had no more questions about this chick. No, I just wanted to. This is what I do: is I fuck up the rhythm, so I just want to get it out early so we can get back to your stories.
Yeah, that's why you're.
Wait, so you met this chick at this one bar when you weren't doing a show.
No,
and it was just random. Just fucking random hookup.
I look at man, as fat and ugly as I am, trust me, I got game, dude.
No,
and
for sure.
I learned a long time ago, you don't have to be cute and everything. As long as you can make a chick feel safe and you make her laugh, she'll suck your dick.
How do you make her feel safe?
I got a big dick.
Wrap this around your shoulder, baby.
Go ahead, girl. I ain't never going to mess with you.
Yeah.
No, I was actually booking a show there. You know, as a comic, one of the steps you go is you get a room and you book comedy nights. And so that was, it was in Rialto, California.
Right.
And I would, actually Rancho Cucamonga, and I would book a comedy night there every Sunday. And she was a friend of a friend. She had just come in, and we started hanging out and dating. That was it. You know, I'm going through a divorce, and, you know, it was perfect timing. And that was it, man. Yeah.
Did you notice this hoish behavior when you were dating at all?
Yeah, but I didn't mind because it was with my dick.
Then you went to Iraq, and then you...
I came back, and my friends were all like, hey, dude, she sucked her dick.
How long were you in Iraq for then?
13 days.
That's it? Just you went, like,
well, she went and sucked everyone's dick in 13 days. She went on a two-week binge, huh?
Dick sucking. She had multiples. Dick and his son. I don't know. You know, she was young. I was older. And I guess, you know, she was just going to get it out of her system yet. Mm-hmm. It was no big deal to me. I mean, okay, cool, we're done. You know, because, the hoes are cool. Okay? I love, and I'm not talking shit. I love women. I'm not being chauvinistic. But, you know, if you're going to be a hoe, then there's a line. You know, and you already crossed it. And I don't mind, you know, hoes. It's kind of like chorizo. It's good as long as you don't think about what's been in it. but you just don't date them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Jesus. I don't know how his dictate. Yeah, but it was fun, man. It was cool. Back then, that club was cool, man. I used to get, oh my God. So this girl came in one time, and we got her. Man, I'm gonna sound like a fucking. If girls are listening to me, they're going to think I'm a dick on this, but it was funny as fuck. This chick came in, and she actually started sucking my dick. And now, let me tell you something right now, guys. I'm not gay. I wouldn't show you my dick. But if there's a girl right here sucking it, you all can look if you want. I don't care. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, there's a certain time and place.
Correct.
And we were the bouncers. The half of the bar was closed off. And so we had her in the back, and she was on her knees, and I was standing there, and he's sitting on an igloo. Like 5 inches from my dick. Telling this girl, suck my boy's dick, man. Suck my boy's dick.
Wait, hold on. He's on an igloo?
She's sitting on an igloo. She's on her knees. I'm standing there. I'm doing Morse code on her forehead with my dick. And he's like this close going, suck my boy's dick, man. Suck my boy's dick. And she's like, all right. I busted a nut. It was funny because she went to get up. And right before she like started to suck my dick, she goes, you're going to owe me a drink. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, after I'm done, I go, well, what about him, man? You can't leave him hanging. That's not cool. So she blows him, too.
Dang. That's called friends being friends.
And here's the funny shit.
That's a good girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She goes up to the bar to get a free drink. And she goes,
no.
Chris goes, no. She goes, Chris said he got to get a free drink. She had jizz on her shirt.
Oh.
Bartender goes, you nasty ass bitch, get the fuck out of here. Oh, man.
Give her some tonic water or something to stay that way.
We're outside busted up. You know, that's what's funny, man. When you hang around bars long enough, you start seeing some fucking crazy shit.
So what was the first show you booked? I'm going to comedy.
Well, you
know, yeah. No, because you say you booked the shows out of Rialto. So what was the first
show? That
was
the first room that I ever booked by myself, and it ran for like 3 years.
Really?
I had Sean Wayans there. I had Faze on Love. I had a lot of heavy hitters there. It only held about 80 people. But what saved my ass was that Jeff Garcia has been a friend of mine for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
Actually, since he was 15, it's been longer than that.
Damn.
He used to drive by there to go home. So he would go there, and Jeff likes to drink, and Bard would give him free drinks. So every Sunday night he'd be there and he'd go up on stage. Well, you know, Jeff's there. Everybody came.
Everybody wants to be there.
Yeah, so it was just perfect. And, you know, bar was cool. It was one of those kind of bars. You know, we had about 5 bouncers. 2 of them were MMA fighters. The other guy was, you know, big dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It was one of those things where if you went over there to have a good time, you're going to have a good time. You cause shit, though, you're going to get carried out. And they didn't play. They didn't play. I saw one guy talking shit, and this other guy just, the one of the bouncers just clocked him. And you ever seen somebody fall asleep before they hit the ground?
Jesus.
Just memes. Hits the floor. I'm like, whoa. Bouncer runs in, changes his shirt, put another shirt on, comes back outside. And then it was funny because the cop rolled up. No, the guy's friend came over and tried to lift him up. And as he let him go, the guy fell back down. I mean, he was hit that hard.
Damn.
A cop rolled up, walked up. What happened to him? And I was like, I don't know. He tripped, fell, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, he ain't gonna tell him nobody.
Yeah.
Cops are, nah, man, who hit him? Nobody hit him. He fell, man. Look how drunk he is. And, they used to have cops over there all the time, man. It was a cool place, though. It was cool. You knew everybody. Everybody was cool. And then they got busted, closed it down, and that was it. Yeah, we used to sit there and drink till 5 o'clock in the morning, man.
What did they get busted for?
Sitting there drinking till 5 o'clock. You got to watch out for that shit, because the owners used to have girlfriends, and we'd all hang out and party when the bar closed. The bar was supposed to close at 2, we'd be there at 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Well, shit, you get one girlfriend pissed off, they're calling, and that was
it. Everybody started to snitch now.
They didn't lock the doors and then reopen at 6 or anything like
no,
that?
No, they locked them, and we'd be, no music or nothing, just be drinking.
Okay, yeah, we used to have lock-ins all the time, and then open at 6 and you let out, because then it's legal to get
Yeah, well, this place never opened till about 10 or 11.
Okay.
But the thing is, though, is one day you get a knock on the fucking door, mm-hmm. and one night at 4 o'clock, and it's a sheriff going, why is there 5 people in here? And you guys are getting drunk. You can't tell me, hey, we're cleaning up still. And that was it. They got busted.
And so they cite them and then basically shut them down?
No, they took their permit down to, midnight.
Instead of
2 o'clock. Okay. And you'd be amazed how much money you lose on those 2 hours.
Really? Because everybody comes in after
the last call.
Fine.
Yep. Hey. And they did that, and they took away their entertainment license.
Ooh, oh, shit. And that's the one that's the big ticker. Yeah, because they real strict about
no DJs, no nothing.
Also, not just no live bands or no live mics.
No DJs, no nothing.
So a jukebox and fucking you got to be out by 12.
Yep.
Yeah, that's shitty.
That's a nice place to go.
Yeah, that's fucking great. It's a pre-starter, man.
Now you asked me when I got started, and that was Matt that asked me that. Mm-hmm. In 1992, 93, I was just dating my future wife. I was living with a buddy of mine, and I read in the paper that the Laugh Stop in Montclair was looking for open mics.
Okay.
My buddy goes, why don't you call? And I was like, all right. So I called. I still know the guy. He's a good friend of mine. The manager became the owner later on, but he lives in Upland. But he answered the phone. His name is Adam. And he says, do you have 5 minutes? And I went, yeah, sure. And then he hung up on me and told me to call him back later. I forgot about it. I literally forgot about it. 2 months later, I get a phone call from him. He goes, you got your 5 minutes down? I went, yeah, sure. That was a Friday. Open mic was on a Monday. He goes, all right, Monday at 8. So me and Chris, my other roommate, spent the whole weekend trying to think of funny shit.
For 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes. And I learned a lot of lessons. One, what you think is funny, people may not. That night, I'll never forget it. I got to the club. I invited a few friends. Back then, there was no Comedy Central. There was nothing but maybe an HBO special every now and then. And
I think that's right before Def Jam, if it was 92, 93.
Yeah. That so people went out for comedy. They didn't just see it on TV.
Right.
There'd be a line every night of the week. On even Fridays and Saturdays, there was 3 shows. Mm-hmm. And they'd be packed. So open mic, there was 300 people there.
Oh, shit.
Plus you had like a headliner at the end. So, they got a good show. I pulled my number out of the glass. I went on number 4. I went over there and had 2 beers. Now, even Matt, I don't drink no more.
I know.
I don't drink before I go up. I learned that lesson that night.
Wait, when did you stop? When did you stop drinking?
In 92.
Oh, I still drink a little bit, occasionally.
Yeah.
But I never drink before I go up.
And that was because of this story you're going to tell us, okay?
Of that one night.
All right.
I remember being in the green room and a couple of chicks. There was one that was going on after me and one before me. One was just reading her notes going like this. Another chick was just staring in the mirror like the damn thing was talking to her. And the one that was staring in the mirror had done it for a while. She was going on before me. She goes up on stage. I figure, I got 5 more minutes. I got time for another beer. So I went to the bar. I just ordered it. And she comes running out crying.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Exactly the way you said it is the same way I said, oh, shit. So I ran over there, and they called my name, and I stood there.
Wait, she didn't even last 1 minute?
Oh, by the time she got up, I don't know what the hell happened to this day. But I know she freaked out and ran.
Well, this girl, she's been doing it for a while, you said.
She had been doing it a few times.
Okay. Damn.
And so when I went up there and I stood there, and it was funny because, I'll tell you one of the jokes that I'd written. I thought it was funny as hell. I was, what was it about? Oh, hey guys, you want to scare the hell out of your girlfriends? Get some little baby beef liver. Stick it by your bed. And then when you guys are like about to have sex and you go down on her, pull a hair or something and pinch. And when she screams, put some of that liver in your teeth and go, what the hell is this? I thought it was hilarious. Every chick there went and just stared at me like, you sick motherfucker. Didn't get one laugh on it. I was up there. I stood there, though. I took it for 5 minutes. And I tell you, man, I'd never do that shit again. I mean, it was bad.
And you blame it on the alcohol?
I blame it on a lot of different things. But I learned later on, about 2 months later, my ex-wife, it's funny when you're dating somebody and they tell you, hey, you should get another job. At the time, I was making baseball bats for Louisville Slugger.
Oh, nice.
Aluminum ones. And Laugh Stop was hiring a cook at night. She goes, you should get a job over there. You could use the extra money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I ended up getting a job there, and I just, you know, another cook was doing open mics too, and he talked me back into it. And it took me about 9 times before I finally won it. But it was convenient for me because I was there. Yeah. So the funnier I became, and I started, I'm one of these kind of people that I learn by other people's mistakes, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I watch other people and say, okay, that's how you fucked up. I ain't doing that. And I started realizing that what I think is funny is not what you guys might think is funny. You got to write for them. And so I started to just... I've always had a problem with writing. Because to me, it's not funny once I read it. So I come up with a concept and I just work it out. And eventually I got out of the kitchen. I started hosting. What I mean by hosting is just seating people.
Okay.
And then the owner used to MC it, and sometimes he'd say, you want to MC? And so I got more stage time that way. But at that time, I only did. The cool thing about it was I used to answer phones, and every now and then somebody would call up and say, hey, I got a birthday party. I only had like 5. I said 15 on me, but I had 5 that was funny. And so I would call somebody else and would go over there and do the show. And we only get made $80, $75 back then. You know, we didn't charge that much. I don't know if you guys know of an author. He's been on Oprah and everything. His name is Eric Jerome Dickey.
No.
Okay. Cheaters. One of the books he wrote. Milk, Cream of My Coffee or some other stuff. Yeah. At that time, he was a comedian.
Oh, shit.
And I used to call him up and we'd go do the show.
Oh, cool, man.
And so you're going to do actually a birthday party show for these guys?
Yeah.
And you guys do it for an hour?
We'd do it for like... Maybe an hour.
At like a person's house?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somebody called, but I got my wife's birthday. How much it would cost to get a comedian? Well, I can do it, and I get a buddy of mine. We'll do it for an hour and charge you $100. One time we did, that was Eric Dickey, too. We did the Fireman's Ball in Victorville. There's a restaurant out there called the Cock and Bull.
Yeah.
You know what that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we go out there, and it's all firemen. And now, mind you, I'm Mexican, but I look white. Eric is blacker than black and very ethnic at the time. This is all Victorville, okay? It's all white people. Mm-hmm. The mayor came in. Okay, I am not lying. He looked like a black version of Boss Hogg. He had a white suit on, white hat, everything like Boss Hogg, but he was black.
Really?
Right.
What was this year, 95 or something?
Yeah, about 93, 94.
Okay.
So I'm already tripping out. He, like, had his own little table and everything else, right?
The mayor. So,
I get up, do my, you know, 5-10 minutes. Eric gets up. First joke out of his mouth was an ethnic joke about black people. Wasn't bad. It was just an ethnic joke. Everybody's laughing except the mayor. Mayor goes, why is it going to be a black joke? Loud.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Heckled by the mayor.
Eric looks over at one of the firemen that we knew, because he's the one that called us. And there was most probably about 200 people there, plus the mayor. Eric looks down and goes, is this for you guys? The guy goes, yeah. So you're the one that's paying us, right? He goes, yeah. Eric goes, well, fuck him then. Dude, you just told the mayor, fuck you. As soon as that show was over, we hauled ass out of there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting pulled over? Why would you get pulled over for? Something about fuck you in the mirror? I don't know. Just, yeah. Yeah. Different thing. You know, I've been on the road for, 10 years now? 13 years? And I've been to 42 states and 8 countries. Overseas trips are the funnest. I went to a little country called Qatar.
Yeah.
You heard of it?
Qatar, yeah.
Qatar, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was the beginning step to go to Afghanistan. So you go there first, yeah. In Afghanistan.
So my brother did the same, but he went for the actual war.
Right. Yeah. Which, by the way, I love doing military gigs. It's, it's the coolest thing. I get there. We landed at midnight, and it was 99.
That's like Dallas.
I woke up the next morning, and then you ever see those little, those containers on the back of a semi-truck? You know, like they're hauling containers?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Imagine
okay.
Three of those stacked high with stairs.
Okay.
That's where we slept.
Oh.
They made them into rooms. Now imagine about 50 of these in a warehouse. Stacked three high. Okay, now, you're imagining that big warehouse, right? I woke up in one of those things. It was cold as hell. You could have hung meat. It was cold. I walked outside. It was 120. It was 9:30 in the morning.
Jeez.
Really?
I saw fat people sticking together. I was cutting farts just for the cool breeze. You couldn't even wear sunglasses because your eyes would fog them up.
Damn.
You couldn't take pictures, nothing. Now, in the military, you got a brother that's in the military. Mm-hmm. You already know. They don't put bathrooms in your fucking... You have to go to the head, which is connected to the warehouse outside.
Which is like the shower and all the rooms, everything.
Now, here's the beautiful part. They put the showers. The water tubs on top of the building. It's 120, dude. Mm-hmm. There was no cold water.
No.
All right? So you go over there, you freeze your ass off in the warehouse, get to the head, take a hot-ass shower, walk through some steaming hot ass outside, go inside a warehouse and freeze to death, and then you're cool. And there's nothing like doing military shows, especially because, you know, you're taking a shower with everybody.
Mm.
So you get out of the shower, and you're not used to it, man. You got a towel. Some big black Marine comes out of this dick hanging out going, hey, man, ain't you a comet? I'm like, yeah, you want to put that away? One time I was taking his shit in the head one time, and I overheard this guy was, like, brushing his teeth, and there was another guy in the stall next to me, and they were complaining. Well, he was complaining. The guy brushing his teeth was complaining more. You know, I can't believe they put us out here, and the food, da-da-da-da-da-da, and this bathroom, no human... And it wasn't even that bad. He was just bitching and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know his CO was in one of the stalls, too.
Damn.
Yeah. That shit was comedy. Yeah. Because he let him talk. And then all of a sudden, Private Jordan! You hear the toothbrush. Apparently you have a problem with my toilet facilities.
Yeah, that's when he took a shit. That's when the real shit came out.
I started rolling. Perhaps maybe if you don't like the way these facilities look, maybe you should be guarding them. Next day, he's sitting with his guns guarding the bathroom. And what's funny is when we go, we're like GS-15s, which is like a general status. In other words, when you enlist, you're an I-9 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. in numerical code. It's kind of, if you're in the military, you'll understand, right? Well, GS-15s mean that we get a security team. So when we land, there's five people there with guns, and they're cocked, loaded, ready, and they'll take that bullet for you. It's a trip, right? Well, because we work for the military, we get orders just like any other person. And you're ranked. I'm outside this building waiting to go up on the show. The show's going on. I'm smoking a cigarette. Some sergeant comes walking up, starts yelling at me for smoking. I didn't know it was a not smoking area. Well, you always have a liaison, a lieutenant that hangs out with you everywhere you fly to make sure all the flights and everything is on, you know, because you're going by Black Hawk and shit. Well, anyway, she was about to show her stripes and tell him to back off. And I just pointed at her. I put my paperwork out and I said, hey, man, read that bottom line. And I go, yeah. And he just stared at me. And I go, shut the fuck up. In fact, get my luggage. I go, I'm just playing, bro.
I can smoke where I want to smoke, motherfucker. Be where I want
to be. Hey, so did any military guys ever try to pull pranks on you? Like, make you, like, kind of scare you or whatever? Pick you up on a helicopter? And
honestly, they didn't have to. We got shot at 3 times.
Oh, shit. Like, for real?
For real, though.
For real, though?
For real, though. Now I was on a Black Hawk, and when you're on a Black Hawk, man, I got a picture of it on my Facebook. You're wearing this helmet, and you're wearing the flak jacket. Yeah. And then it's a 5-point harness, and I'm a big guy anyway, So you're not moving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can barely move your head. Well, they used to fly 3 helicopters at a time, but the third one sometimes didn't make it.
Jeez.
Because you figure, one goes by, you're just reaching for that rocket launcher.
Yeah, just getting
the second one, the third one, you got it.
Yeah.
So they start flying 2 at a time, right? So I'm in this thing and I'm flying. And they got 250 cows on each side. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you hear, pa-ching, pa-ching. You could hear it.
That don't sound
like
a
this pigeon. Dude just started. And there's shells flying towards my face, empty shells. Ooh, and they're shit. Hot. Yeah. And you're all.
Yeah. Did you see that CNN thing about what they had last week? Where they were rescuing those people over in like either the hot zone, and they showed us flying in with our helicopters, and they were rescuing these guys from the surgeon camp, and they were lighting them up. And you're right, this little kid with a duck, and these hot bullets are just coming all over their head.
And that 50 cal is no joke. The shell on it's about that big. That gun, that bullet doesn't even have to hit you. If it goes like so many inches from you, it'll take your arm off. Damn. It's an anti-aircraft gun that they use for people.
Jeez, damn.
So the bullet looks like a shotgun shell,
And
it's that big. So I'm, you know, dodging and weaving. Another time I landed on a base, and we got in the tent. And once again, I had to use the bathroom, and I had to go to the head tent. Well, I got to my tent to put my stuff down. There, the tenant sitting next to me. You hear, take cover. I do a bit about this, but it really happened. You hear, take cover. I'm like, oh, shit. Somebody fired a mortar. You know, the one of those things you drop in the tube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed my tent by 3 tenths. It landed right on the ground.
Damn.
But it didn't explode. It just landed. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, can we just move it? No. They have to send engineers over there and they blow it up. Dude, I have never in my life felt the concussion of that thing when it blew up. I mean, it knocked me on the ground. Shit was flying on the tent.
Wow.
It was just nasty.
And how far away were you?
Yeah. 3 tenths away.
But when it blew it up,
you were still 3 tenths away?
Yes.
Oh, they let you stay in your tent or some
shit? Yeah. We just had it. Well, it's all sandbagged and everything else. And the way they do it, they cover it so it kind of contains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it still fucked me up.
Wow.
And then it was funny because, you know, you hear all clear. The lieutenant goes, you can go to the bathroom now. I'm like, just give me some pants. I'm cool. How do you want? Yeah, so it was crazy. Another time when we were in Qatar,
mm-hmm.
It was so hot, man. Look at me. I'm fat, lazy. I don't feel like doing shit. It's nice and cold in my whole. You know, just let me know when stage time is. You know what I'm saying? Well, they let you go shoot it. And I'm like, man, I don't want to go shoot it. I'm like, all right. So about me and the other comics, we go out to the range. First, they give me a 9mm. No big deal. I got one in the car. Then they gave me an AK-47. No big deal. I'm from Long Beach. We all got one of those.
Yeah.
Then they let me shoot the M6. M16s or M4s. I want to hurry up. I don't even want to be there. So he gives it to me. I don't even look. Here. He goes, don't you want to see what you shot? I'm like, I'm from Long Beach. We'll just read about it in the paper. So then he goes, hey, you want to shoot the 30? I go, The 30 is that big-ass machine gun just mm-hmm. short of the 50 on the Hummer. I'm like, okay. So I get in that shit, and I'm shooting at a car that's about 2-3 blocks away. And I mean, dude, I've never in my life fired a gun with a boner. Yeah. I wasn't even aiming. I was just, they had to drag me off that bitch, man. That shit was
time to go. Time to go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, you're all done. Put another chain in there. People are running. I don't give a fuck.
Got us.
And then I'm climbing out. What do? I touch that barrel.
Oh, dude.
You ever got hurt and have somebody stand next to you going, man, I was going to stop you.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you stop me, dude? That should hurt. He's like, if it would have been at night, you'd have known, but it would have been glowing red. I'm like, dude, it's noon. I barely touched that. And, dude, I swear to God, it hurt so bad. I was the first person to shoot. I didn't want to puss out. So everywhere you go over there, there's crates of water, bottles of water. Mm-hmm. I must have went through six bottles while everybody was shooting.
Jeez.
And it just lined it up on my hand. I got back to the base, and I have to say something that, just a shout out to that military. If you get hurt, unless you die right then and there, you got a nice chance of them saving you. Because they know their shit. The doctor there. I know it was just a little burn on me, but I've seen people get really bad. I mean, shot in the neck and stuff. You think they're dead, and they were able to save them long enough to get them over to Bagram, which Bagram is like a major hospital. And if they can't save you, they send you to Germany. As long as you can make it, if you can make it to Germany, you're gonna live. But they that guy fixed up my hand. Called the base I was going to be at the next one the next day to make sure they're going to look at it. Offered me free painkillers, pills, or whatever I needed. I was just, you know, it was cool, man. And I scooted right by the line because, you know, you got soldiers who are sick or something. Mm-hmm. They fucking put me right through. Oh, yeah.
You want to get this dick out of here. Yeah. Touching the goddamn weapons.
Yeah, I know. They gave me a fucking certificate. It was a Purple Heart. And at the bottom it says, may your hand heal quickly and your nights not be so lonely.
Oh. Yeah.
It was cool, man. That was cool. I like those military days. You know, it's a trip when you do a gig and there's like 1,500 soldiers and they're getting your autograph and you're like, dude, I'm like nobody special, but I'm leaving tomorrow. You're going to be here 6 months.
Yeah.
But it takes you a little while to understand that for that 2 hours you were there, they didn't think about their buddy that just got shot. They didn't think about nothing but having fun and laughing. And so it means so much to them. That's the best thing.
So how often do these shows go on for them? Like how often? Like every month? Or?
Oh,
like,
they get them a lot.
They get them a lot?
They had a military tour. There's a
show. USO does a lot. I actually work for a company that... it's a private company that sent them over. But there's a few companies out there that do it.
Yeah, like Comics at Ease, and there's a couple other ones.
Yeah, there's a few.
Comics Unleashed. No, Comics
at Ease or whatever?
No.
Right?
Comics on Duty.
Okay, yeah.
Comics on Duty, USO, that a couple of independent people send. But I'm supposed to go to Japan next month. That's Okinawa. It's a Marine base.
That should be fun.
That's cool, man, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been to Japan?
Never.
I've only heard stories, so I don't know.
These women are the best because they multitask.
Yeah, he don't know.
If you do a doggy style, you get a pedicure.
Yeah, damn right. Love it.
Yep.
Well, wait, what are these stories you hear about Japan, Darius?
No, I just heard it's fucking, like you said, it's great. Fucking like anything you want, especially the guy, you're basically going to get over in Japan.
Oh, they love you.
Yeah, fucking at any time of the day. Yeah. It's like a fucking Vegas loft.
Where'd you hear these stories from, Darius?
Yeah. From some friends.
I had a friend that went and said he went to his hotel room. There was two girls. He had gotten so much pussy, he told him to leave.
Yeah. And I heard...
I've never had that much pussy.
Yeah, no, I've never either. Well, you just say, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I heard that, like, the song, when they line them up, you know, I thought that shit was just on TV, where they line the bitches up.
Oh, no.
And that shit's for real. Like, it's fucking slavery. And you can just pick the one you want. I'm like, fucking excited.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Look, that's what the ball is. When a black dude goes, I'll take that one.
That's what they excite.
Wait, so like... Do you make him show him so your teeth first? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I know the
butt. Wait. So your friend says you go to this one place and this is what happens.
Yes. The parlor's there. You go there and they line them up on stage.
They do that in Mexico, bro.
Oh, I don't fuck, but I don't want to mention.
Yeah, Mexico's a lot closer.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot closer, but hey. Right. But you know how they are. Hey. So I'm saying you go to Japan or do some
shit. Let me tell you something. I've only paid for it once just to see how it would be.
Yeah.
And it was in Cabo San Lucas.
Ooh.
And let me tell you something.
Not even TJ, Cabo.
$60.
Got you a long way?
That girl did everything but the dishes. And it was funny as hell because the night that I first met her, when my friend was like, dude, are you going to do it? I'm like, oh, fuck it, why not? You know, my wife was mad when she got that credit card bill, too.
But what did it say on the bill? It got to be like Pancho's Mexican restaurant or something, right?
She said, who's Gabriella?
It has a name.
How do you let her put the name on it?
I met her, and I was drunk on my ass. And she goes, $60? I'm like, well, let's go. we walked back to my hotel room, and at that point, security was at my hotel room, and security knew who she was.
Oh, shit, okay.
Security goes, Tanya, nice to see you, Matt.
Security goes, this is Mexico. He goes, I can't let her in. It's after hours. But you know how they are over there. He goes, if you give me $20, though, I'll let her in. I start doing the math, and I'm a cheap bastard. I'm like, 60 plus, that's a lot of money, hon. I go, look, why don't you come by and visit tomorrow? She goes, all right. I'm glad, because I was whiskey dick anyway.
It would have been worth the money.
My buddy, you know, we're in a regular hotel room, which there's two beds right there, and, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the door knocks. I wake up on my da-dun-da-dun. I answer the door, and there she is, smiling.
Dang, she's punctual.
And I went,
yeah, she made sure to stay with client.
Like, shit, I forgot about you. Hold on, my buddy's still sleeping on the bed. Dude, gotta get up, man. He goes, what, man, what? You gotta go, Doc.
There's a couch for you.
He goes, oh, no, you gotta go. So he took his blanket and slept out by the pool on the thing. I don't know why. It was 200 degrees. And she tells me, she goes, it's $60. It's an hour until you come. 58 minutes later, I'm getting my money's worth.
He stopped watching.
Exactly. Yeah,
hold on, let's rest.
She goes, you go a long time. I go, I'm a miser. I'm getting my money.
Yeah. I'm putting it all in.
That was hilarious. Yeah, I did it. I did it once. I was married too, but that don't count as cheating because I paid for it.
Yep. Different countries.
Is that the rule?
Yeah. That happens in Mexico.
That's what my uncle said. If you're going to do it, you might as well pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you go to a bar over there, bro. It's like, oh my God. And the women are beautiful. You sit down and they're on your lap already. And they're in bikinis and they're just gorgeous. Me and my buddy, first time I went to Cabo, I went with my wife. And that was stupid.
Sand to the beachy.
Don't ever do that. It was funny. When you're married, none of you guys have been married, right?
No.
Oh. You're married, right?
Yeah.
Sunglasses are your best friend. Because she can't see your eyes.
I better get some darker ones.
We went on this thing called a blues cruise. We thought it was a romantic thing. No. It's people getting drunk. Everybody's freaking out, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm at the bow of the boat, and I got my sunglasses up. And there's a beautiful girl sitting there. She had no underwear on, and her skirt's flying up in the air, and I just stared. My wife was by, you want a drink? And I went, yeah, sure. It's like, this shit don't get better than this.
And you know, the women find that shit first faster than we do, though. I didn't know that shit.
And then some girls lifted up their top, and my wife saw, hey, did you see that? And I went, what?
Yeah, you know you got it, but you
wanted to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She goes, you didn't see them lift up their top? And I'm like, no, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. Ooh, let me see now.
Yeah, now if I would have saw it, and she would have said, what are you looking for? So, yeah, I knew that. And then the next year, me and my buddy went for a vacation, and we stayed there a week. And you know, you always want to do more things than you want to do, but you never do. You know what I mean? The second time, I'm like, we're going to go fishing, bro.
Yeah, right.
By 2 o'clock, all the boats are back. So I met this dude on a boat, and I speak a little Spanish, so I told him, hey, man, we'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's $50 to hold. We didn't get up to 5 in the afternoon. And all the bars over there, they don't start happening until midnight.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't close down to about 4:35. And then every strip bar is their hookers. But they're, oh, dude, we walked into one time, and chicks in my lap, chicks in her lap. We're like, oh, my God. His, which is over, we ordered tequila shots with lemon. His girl, which is over, grabs the lemon, pulls up her top, rubs it on her titty. Grabs the back of my friend's head and just goes like this. I'm like, oh, my God. I looked at Brian. I'm like, well, grab a lemon. What are you doing? Tonight's your first night or what?
My mouth too big for you?
Oh, yeah. This is the best, dude. I used to go there every year.
Just, hey, honey, we're going back. And Cabo, here we come.
How was the vacation? And it was funny because she said, I'll take pictures. The only pictures we took was of getting off the plane and getting back on.
Honey, I made it here safe. Honey, I made it home.
It's not cheating. Oh, yeah. That was bad. How long have you been married?
2 years now.
Oh, yeah. So you guys are still having sex.
Honey, you might want to listen. The gentleman said we should be having sex.
Hey, she's banning you from Cabo now, dude.
Remember, my kids are way older, man. I've been with her for 9 years.
Or you just start, you've been with her 9 years, had kids, and just realized I should marry this?
Yeah, I figured one day I'm going to die, so I might as well go in and get my life insurance and shit together. I did it opposite, just a little opposite, you know?
There you go.
Make sure the kids are cute and shit. If I could did my
See, life. I got married after she had gotten pregnant a few times, but she had like a rewards card at the abortion clinic.
They got her a gift card.
She had a rewards card. She was evil, bro. Last time I talked to her was my Ouija board.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, marriage is fine for me, man. I'm probably... I'm
let me tell you, let me tell how evil this chick was. And I hope she's listening.
Yeah. Well, send her a little tag on the message.
We're separated 4 years. I call her up. We got two kids. I call her up at work and I'm like, hey, man, we should work this out. We got two kids. She goes, fuck you, find somebody else. The way I just said it was the way she said it and hung up. A couple weeks later, I meet a girl. We start dating. And I'm done. I mean, I'm sprung like a motherfucker. And we start dating for about 4 or 5 months. Actually, about 4 months. She looks over at me and she goes, hey, yo, you're still married. We got to fix this. So I call my ex-wife. I met my wife again at work. I go, hey, what do you want? We need to get a divorce. She goes, why? Because I'm seeing somebody. It's not cool. You know, she went home early that day crying. Went to my cousin's house. Slept there crying. Break up with her. We're family.
No, we're family now. Yeah.
I'm like, you told me to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Went on for like 3 weeks. Finally, I decided, you know what? The kids come first. All right. I break up with the girl. I call her back. I said, all right, I did it. She goes, never mind.
Oh, dang, dude.
Go, no, you didn't. And you can't go back with the other girl. Because I told her I'm going back with my wife.
Yeah.
So you can't go back and say, you know what? She said no.
You fucked up, man.
Yeah, that's some bipolar shit. Yeah, that's some.
She tried to do that shit when I was dating the 23-year-old, but I didn't go for it. I'm like, no.
Not fall for this again.
Yeah. not for that bullshit, man.
No, not twice.
Yeah. So how do we find you, man, on the social media, man?
If you Google comedian Chris Simpson, everything pops up the first 9-10 pages, man.
A bunch of strippers?
No. I'm not into that. I've changed my life now.
Found Jesus?
You got Jesus in your life like myself?
I found God.
You found God?
Yeah.
I'm still searching for him, too. He owes me a couple of little favors.
You got any shows coming out since September you want
to
play?
Actually, I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be up in September. I'm going to be in Seattle, Medford, and Idaho.
You got any dates on those that we can plug for you?
Seattle, I was going to be on the 26th. No, it's the 24th. And then Medford's the 26th and the 27th.
Cool.
You know where a place you're performing in Seattle already?
Yeah, at the Tulalip Casino.
Oh, Tulalip.
Tulalip
Casino. All right, cool. So, yo, my Seattle folks, man, definitely check out Chris Simpson. He's going to be at Tulalip Casino. Very funny, very funny. I'm going to look for a lot of Seattle support for him. I'm from there. That's why I'm going to get you up there. Mm-hmm.
I love that casino. Oh, my God, dude. Have you stayed there?
No, I actually never stayed there. I went there. My aunt used to run a bingo bus up there.
Bro, I'm not lying. The shower's as big as the
But it's getting huge. It's a huge facility.
And then you turn the water, and the water hits you in the ass. It just scares the shit out of you. Yeah.
The water's in so many different places.
Yeah, like three different places. Yeah, you're like, what? Buy me a beer for something. But,
Yeah, it's very beautiful, it's though, nice. Man. Well, you're in Medford, man. They got cats out.
Medford's at the Rogue Center.
The Rogue Center. I'm just stopping by the community center again to do a show.
Yeah, well, it's the elderly night. No, actually, it's a really nice place called the Rogue Center Hotel. It's right off the 5 freeway. You can't miss that. Last time I was there, I was with another comic named Mel Austin. I don't know if you guys
know. Yeah, we know Mel.
Okay. Real quick, then I got to get out of here. I've taken that trip for the last 8 years, twice a year. Okay. I have never got caught in the snow. Except the one time with Mel. Now, you guys know Mel, black dude, funny as hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get to Grants Pass and we can't move. From Grants Pass to Redden is snowed in. I need chains. I've never needed chains in my life. So we stop, we buy some. And then we go outside and try to put them on. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And here's the funny shit. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at the chains. I'm like, what the fuck? So then I looked at Mel. Mel gets pissed. He go, oh, because I'm black. You think I know something about chains? Now, he was so serious about it. I felt bad. No, dude. Wasn't like that, man.
Yeah.
No. It wasn't. Yeah. Oh, fuck you, Chris. No, dude. I felt so bad. He was, I'm just playing. It was hilarious, man. Because you came in late. You missed it.
Sorry.
Oh. You live here, too?
She's our next guest, Chris.
Oh.
I'm the follow-up back.
Oh. Yeah, see, they have their shit together when you get here. I've been here since noon. And we just started 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Wires going all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
I'm in somebody's house. No parking. I had to park up the street.
Yeah. Thanks, Louie.
Yeah,
no valet, no nothing. I thought this was the green room at first.
Bring it to the big room.
Mm-hmm. They offered you a drink. I had to make my own. Yeah, I'll be back.
You got to work on your boobs there, Chris.
My moves or boobs?
Your boobs.
Oh, dude, I got a speeding ticket with this boob.
Yeah, I bet you. Man, it was great having you, man. It was
great being here, guys. Thanks for
stopping by.
Thanks for being,
thanks
so
for being
professional
patient.
And up to grade.
Yeah, fuck you. Hey, you can thank Louie. You send Louie an email.
I don't even know who Louie is.
You will know him now.
Louie's some imaginary guy. You figured, hey, we're blaming on Louie. He's never met him. There was shit all over here, man. Instructions everywhere. They're all looking at each other. An Asian guy. Don't know how to do shit. The Asian. No tech support, no nothing. Fucking lost.
He said he's new wave Asian. He ain't doing
breaking,
that shit.
Breaking stereotypes.
He said if it was math, I could do it. But I don't know nothing about this dude.
Yeah. We didn't call him, man. We didn't call him. Yo, man, we definitely love having you in the house. Appreciate you.
Oh, man.
Out.
Thanks, guys. I got to get out of here. I got the kids in the car.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hey, yeah, hope you left a window crack for him.
Fuck that. I gave him cigarettes every hour.
Nice. You give him a 42?
No. I drank that motherfucker.
No, that's my boy.
All right, man.
Good night, guys. Show tonight, man.
Good night.
All right, be out.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com, because we have got more to come.